जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिनील प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतपुरि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड की गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरमुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुन माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबली बॉडीज all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namam Shabadaya Krishna Prasaya Bodhale Srimadhi Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 वाताय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनीनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे उल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपरिजाताय त्वत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपाल नंदन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम गीतामृतम महल वसुदेव सुतम देव कंस चाणूरवर्धनम देवगी परमानंदम कृष्ण वंदे जगद्गुरु भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गांधार नीलोत्पला शैलग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवर सरोजमलम गीतार्थगंधोत्कटम नानाख्यानकेसरम हरिकथा संबोधना बोधितम लोकै सज्जन शल्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानम मुदा भूयाद् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्वन्वन्दिव्यै सवैर्वेदै साङ्गवदै क्रमोपनिषदे गान्धियं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितगदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यां दं न विदुसुरासुरगणे देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द
Krishna said to Arjuna, in that 14th verse, Adhishtanam tatha karta karananja pradakvidam vividhascha pradakshesta devam chayvatra panchamam. That we have spoken about that. Then Krishna said that the body, mind and the words, in this way, senses of knowledge, senses of action, with all of them, if one begins a karmam, these are the five things which are the cause behind that. Sharira vangmanobhiryat karma prarabhate nara nyayam va viparidam va panjayade tasya hetava. So these five things which he spoke, adhishtanam, karta, karanam, and karmam, and finally devam. Five things are responsible for that. Yeah, he said all that, and then he mentioned there that all karma is executed with body, mind, and the words. Basically, all the senses, what they do is, they are symptoms of life in a person, that the senses are working, right? But they are doing their duties as a part of the body. These senses are doing as a part of the body, right? Similarly, when we experience the results of karma, it is also experienced by the body and the mind, more than anything else. So having said that, Krishna said in the next verse, tatraiva stadi kartaram almanam kevalam tuya pashyat agrada buddhitval nasapashyati durmadi. That when things are like this, the senses, these five things what Krishna spoke, people identify with Atma, the self, as responsible for engaging in karma. So self is engaged in the karma. And ignorant person, ajnani, he says that he is the doer. So that is what is called durbuddhi. Pashyat agrada buddhitval. Asamskrita buddhitval means not purified intelligence, impure intelligence. He thinks like that. And Vedandam and the instructions of the guru, logic, he does not have that. So that's why it becomes in that way, right? So, even those people, many people think that self is this body. Even those who think that self is separate from the body, even they think that self is responsible for the karma, Atma. And the reason for that, he said, the buddhi has not properly groomed or trained in that way. Exactly the same thing what Drumala was saying yesterday, what we discussed in the Bhagavatam. Drumala is also saying the same thing, that the buddhi has not been groomed properly, and therefore even Parosha Jnanam has not happened to him. And same thing Krishna is saying here. Right. And then because of that, he keeps on transmigrating from one body to another. And whatever he is seeing in this world is all false in many ways, because he is not seeing the reality behind it. They are called durbuddhi or kumati. In other words, buddhi is not in the right place. That's how in Shastram they will say, buddhi is not in the right place. It went into the wrong place. They are called kumati. Now, who is a sumati? Then Krishna says that. Sumati means one who is buddhi is in the right place. And that is the next verse. And this verse is as important as in Vedandam, like the way in the second chapter, Nasado Vidyade Bhavam. In the same way, this verse has to be taken. It is so important, the next verse. Yasya nahankrado bhavo buddhira yasya na lipyade hatvabisa iman logan na handi na nibadhyade. That's the point. So it's talking about that this ego we talked about last class, right? Adhishthanam, that's the body. In there, this ego. Ego is in the body, it's not. We are identifying with the body. And therefore, adhishtanam, they are the identification with the ego. And he is the karta. Ego is the doer, not the andaryami. Atma is not the doer, right? If you ask a question, ego is required or not? In the 8th chapter, Krishna mentioned that the Ashtada Pragati, the 8 things, Bhumi Ravanara Vayu, Kam Mano Buddhi Revaja, Ahangare Diyame Bhinna Pragati Ashtada. So it comes from Pragati. Ahangaram comes from Pragati. Right? And it is this ego, if it is not there also, Vyavaharam is not possible. Or we cannot do anything in this world if the ego is not there. Even to come for satsangam, you need that ego to work. And because it has come from Pragati, that is why you are able to make certain decisions in daily life. When you finish here, you want to go back to your home, not somebody else's home. So that thinking is ego. It's coming from the ego, right? So in order to make all these decisions, individuality is required. There's nothing wrong in that, right? But to expect the ego to live forever, that is not possible. That's the difference. Antaryami Atma is eternal. But this ego is born sometime and it will stay sometime while the body is there. And with the disappearance of the body, ego has to go, leave, right? So, Krishna is talking about this ego here, not about Atma. Atma, there is no discussion required. Karta, karta means that ego, right? It is required in spiritual life also, while doing spiritual activities, right? But it has to be in a restricted way. Ego has to operate under conditions. It has to operate under conditions, right? As I said before, some people may be able to do big, big things in life. And they were able to do all that because of this ego. If the ego is not there, they won't be able to do those things. And their vasanas are there to do big things. So if the ego is not there, they cannot do those big things and they cannot fulfill that vasanas inside. So in order for those people who have come with such big vasanas inside, if for them to escape from here, this ego is required. Otherwise they cannot work, right? And similarly, as we said before, that the olden days it was spoken in terms of swadharmam. What wants a swadharmam? How to determine that? What to determine the swadharmam? Swadharmam is all for the ego. Antaryami Atma has nothing to do with it. So it's on the base of that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, which is based on the three modes of nature, what we discussed last Sunday, then one has to find out what vasana one has inside. And on that basis, he has to know how to tap the energy. In that way. That's the art in itself. Knowing oneself. Nobody else can tell you that. It is one's own analysis of oneself. Right? So, and because if you are able to tap that energy based on these four divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, based on karma. Right? That is the energy through which his pranan will work very well. That means it's the tapping of the pranan through that particular division, right? If he has not opened it throughout his life in karmam, he won't be happy. If he has to do a karmam which is not in line with his vasanas inside, and if he swadharmam, in other words, yeah. And if he engages in a dharmam which is not favorable for his vasanas, the chances are that he will be, it's like a blocked pipe. He will be working like a blocked pipe. Right. So, all these are the examples are there in the Shastram for all this. Right. So, for example, the self-realization, even after that, there will be still some ahangaram inside. Ahangaram is this ego, right? some people who are very absorbed in bhakti, they will have their hangaram of bhakti itself in them. And how does that come? It comes in the form, I want to be with the devotees and be in the association of devotees and engage and taste bhakti in that way, right? So that means at that moment he has his ego inside working as a devotee. He's working as a devotee, right? Some others who have inclination for karma in different ways, right? Like in the case of Vivekananda, that's what happened. He had the karma inside, that hangaram which was working like that. So he wanted to turn everything upside down. Whole Bharata Bhumi was affected by that. And But we say he is doing all these things for the world. But it is exactly not like that. Because that power inside him, he's making his body, mind, senses, all of them to work in that direction. Because he has tapped, that vasana was there and strongly in him. Right? So the pranan in him needs that. It has to do that work. The pranan in his body has to do that work. Right? So, and his realization of the self, right, that power or the bliss that he was experiencing from that, it has to be expressed in the world in some form. So it comes out in different forms, right? So if we look into the Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions this in the 19th chapter in the 11th canto, how that works. Yeah. If you look into the 11th canto, in the 19th chapter, Krishna says this. In the 5th verse, he's talking to Uddhava. Uddhava, he says, Tasmal jnanena sakhitam jnatva svalpanam Uddhava jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavida. That is his answer to that, what Krishna is saying there. Tasmal jnanena sahidam jnatva svalpanam Uddhava jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavida. Krishna's point is that through jnanam, you know me through jnanam, get to understand me through jnanam, through knowledge, right? Yatva jnanena sahidam bhajamam bhakti bhavida. And then you take shelter of bhakti and you stay in this world. Know me through jnanam, understand me through jnanam, and execute bhakti after knowing me. Execute bhakti, right? Yatva jnanena sahidam bhajamam bhakti bhavidam, right? And take shelter of bhakti and stay in this world. This was Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, right? Yeah. But these are common terms Krishna has spoken. Yatva jnanena sahidam bhajamam bhakti bhavida, Krishna. That is Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Yatva jnanena sahidam bhajamam bhakti bhavida, he said, right? But everyone won't be able to do that. Because this is a very higher level of instruction, right? So, suppose somebody has an attachment to someone else, right? We may call that you'll end up in distress at the end, right? So you're trying to get over that distress, yeah? And you are trying through spiritual means. In spiritual way, you are trying to come out of that attachment. So, this attachment which was very difficult to give up. It is another word is asakti. And Krishna uses that word, asakti. Krishna considers every attachment as asakti. It's just asakti, he says. That you are not able to control your attachment, excessive attachment is called asakti, right? So he's saying that And Ishwara Bhakti, right? If he is God, if he is a devotee, what he will do? He will get attached to Krishna instead of getting attached to somebody else in this world. That will be a devotee's mind will always, when he looks at the world and when he finds that he is getting attached to someone which he knows will cause problem later in some form or the other, right? At that time, attachment is there, so he will turn his attachment towards Krishna in that way, right? But those who come through yoga, this is for the devotee. That's what devotee does. Devotee turns his attention from everything else towards Krishna. In that way, if he has to get, because that vasana will be there inside to get attached to something. So he will turn his attachment towards Krishna, not to anybody else in this world, right? But in the yoga margam and in the jnana margam, what they will do is, they will find it very difficult. They will break completely with the world outside. And they will stand there like that, totally broken away from the world, individually. They will remain aloof from everything, right? That situation, right? So, in order that that body to survive in this world, in their case, right? So, what he will do, he will hold on to some concept in this world, some ideology, or some devada topic, devada vishayam, or spiritual master, in some form, that power in him has to be expressed in the world. He has to express that power in some form in this world, either in the guru form or in another superior form, and or some ideology in that way. When they have withdrawn from the world. See, our mind is very complex phenomenon. It is not easy to understand this mind. It has got also a lot of needs, and that has to be taken care. And artificially, it cannot be done, right? So, for example, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he took shelter of Kali. Bhadrakali was his favorite form he worshipped, right? So, even though he was in a highly realized state, even at his later days, he remained attached to Kali, Bhadrakali. And so he executed his whole life in connection with Bhadrakali, right? And because somewhere that attachment has to stay. You cannot completely dry up inside. That's difficult. If you get attached to Krishna intensely, then the other attachments will be gone. But we have not got that far, ordinary people. They have attachment in all sorts of places. Family members, society, country, and in different ways. This attachment is being distributed in different places, right? So, what personalities in spiritual life, what they do, they will get attached to something which is permanent. That means Krishna's devotees will get attached to Krishna, or Kali's devotees will get attached to Kali, right? So, permanent thing to get attached to is not wrong. If the problem with all the other things is, they are temporary. And you get attached to it, and one day it will go. Somehow or the other, the Maya will separate you, and then it is suffering. After that, the suffering comes, right? So, but if you have an attachment to something which is permanent, which will never fail you, or which will never cheat you at the end, then in this world, it is possible to live in anandam, in happiness, right? So, you will see this mentioned in the third canto. Actually, Upadesham, this is the problem. many of the Upadesham, you don't know how to apply that in our own life. Yeah. So if we look into the Kapilopadesham in the 25th chapter, Kapila Maharshi said this to Devahuti in one verse, and we don't know how is that connected with us. Similarly, Krishna is saying to Uddhava something, and we also don't know how it is connected with us, what we have to do about it. So if you look at the 25th chapter where Kapilopadesham begins, right, and if you look at that verse 20, prasangam ajaram pasham almana kavayo vidhu sa eva sadushukrado mokshadwaram abhavradam. Yeah. So Krishna's point is that Kapila Maharshi is saying here that asat buddhi, asat with asat, no association. Asat, no association, right? If you get attached to asat, then your life is gone, finished, right? And so, at the same time, Kapila Maharshi is saying to Devahuti, sa eva sadhushu kruto. If you get attached to sadhus, right, and that means in spiritual personalities or spiritual literature or spiritual ideologies and things like that, right, then what will happen is mokshadwaram apavardam, it will open up your door for liberation. Yeah. So, prasangam ajaram pasham almana kavayo vidu sa eva sadhushu krido mokshadwaram abhavradam. It opens up for the door for liberation, he says. Yeah. And it is after that he said that tirichava karuniya sukhrida sarvadehinam ajada shatravashanda sadhava sadhuvushana. A famous verse, what he is talking about. Yeah. So, this attachment in everyone is there, and that is very difficult to completely pull off from inside. It's easy to say this, but we know very well that at the end that attachment will overpower us when it comes to the crunch, right? Either it can be in the form of family or friends or society, more from the family, more than anything else. And then society, our friends and things like that, yeah. So, so if it is done, he's saying here, if it is done through great spiritual personalities and also to spiritual topics and similarly spiritual culture, spiritual vasanas, all these things, if you direct it towards Krishna in some form, nisangatvaya kalpade, it will develop into nisangatvam. Sangam will become nisangada. That is the benefit from that. Salsangatve nisangatvam, it says. This nisangada is the goal. How to become no sangam, attachment. How to come out of that. That is what he is talking about. Right. So, you can see Kapila Maharshi keeps saying that ta eve sadava sadvi sarva sanga vivarjita sangaste shodete prarthya sanga dosha harahide. See how to flee from this sangam. Sangam means this attachment, deep attachment inside. Very difficult to fight it out, because it's so deep inside from our way we lived and association with the modes of nature and all that. Yeah. So, so that's the, so because it is like that, nisangatvam, that's one word used, nisangatvam, right? if Nisangatvam comes inside, then what will happen is the mind will become in Shanti state. Mind will experience Shanti when Nisangatvam comes inside, right? Therefore, all Mahalmas also had this problem. It's not that they didn't have problems. They also had the problems. But they handled in a such a way that they were not... They put their Sangam on a permanent place rather than on a temporary places. The mistake all of us do is that we develop Sangam in temporary places. Either they will go or we have to go. In either situation, you are suffering at the end. Is it not? When you get attached to temporary things in this world, what will happen is that either they will leave us or we have to leave them. In either situation, we suffer. So, attachment on a temporary level to anything in this world will bring misery at the end. This lesson one should learn in spiritual life in the early days itself. All this is to be learned in the early days. Kapila Maharshi says that. This is all in the beginning itself. Otherwise, you won't be able to conduct your spiritual life properly. Two things cannot go side by side. Material attachment and spiritual life won't go side by side. So, material attachment, the way to handle material attachment is, get attached to something that is permanent. And that can be a form of a deity. It can be great personalities, mahatmas, great personalities. Or it can be to an ideology which is you are strongly attached to. Either way, attachment is there inside. And that attachment has to be directed towards something that is permanent. Ideology is permanent. Mahatma is also permanent. If you understand the Mahatma properly, not see the form and think that that is a Mahatma. As Krishna says that, isn't it? In the Mahatmas, Andaryami is manifestation of this Mahatmas also. So getting attached to a Mahatma like that, or to an ideology like that, or to a form of Krishna like that, or to anyway, something related to spiritual life, which is permanent. If you get attached to that, then you won't be in trouble. Because that will stay forever. It will not leave you. Whereas on the other hand, all other attachments in this world, as Krishna is saying here, that it will leave one day and you will be subjected to hell of a lot of misery after that. So, and then, Mahalmas have prayed like this to Krishna, give me a place where I can hold on to you. Some location where I can hold on to you, right? They say Dagdharaju. Dagdharaju means a rope that's been burned. The form is still there, but actually you cannot use that rope to tie anything. If you burn a rope, the rope will stay there in its form. And then if you touch it, it will break and go into pieces, right? With that rope, you can't tie anywhere. Similarly, Jnanis also, he has realized that Andaryami is only reality. Everything else is false. He knows that, right? So, and similarly he knows that is Chidabhasam inside, that is Jiva. Jiva is the Chidabhasam, is Abhasam it is. It's not the real one. It's Abhasam. Abhasam means like a shadow. Shadow of the Andaryami is this Chidabhasam. Chidabhasam means in Chit Shakti, is reflection of the Chit Shakti in the Vasana or in the Jiva form. That is called Chidabhasam. He lives in Chidagasham, Chidabhasam, right? So, in other words, in English if you say, it is the assumed ego. It's an assumed ego, right? In other words, I am this, 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 and in my imagination I am all that. I am not that actually. But in my imagination, I have developed some identities in this world. I am a man, I am Indian, or I belong to Hare Krishna group, or I live in a particular place. These are all assumed ego. It is nothing to do with the reality, isn't it? Because the body identity is there, therefore we identify with all these things, right? So it is this assumed ego that is what you are burning it off through self-realization. Through knowledge of the self, you are destroying this assumed ego in us, right? And that assumed ego is ahankaram, it is. Abhimana vritti, it is, right? And through atma vicharam, I am actually destroying that. And at the same time, when that is happening, right, the biological ego is there in us because of the presence of the body. Biological ego, right? That biological ego is required for our existence in this world. You see, how the ego works, this is the important thing to understand. Ego has various faces. Ego also has various faces, right? So, for our existence, or for our survival in this world, there is a ego required. Otherwise, you can't do any transactions. Is it not? Some ego is required to do the transactions. But that ego cannot be thrown away. It is that ego Krishna is talking about in the Ashtada Prakriti as ego. Ego has got many sides to it. When we say ego comes from Prakriti, you have to understand which ego is talking about. In ego, what we have developed as ego while living in this world, that is false ego. But that ego, for our survival in this body, and to do transactions, vyavaharam, and survival in this world, a certain ego is required. That ego, Krishna is saying, has come from Prakriti. Bhumi abhanalo vayu kham mano buddhi eva cha ahangara idiyame bhina prakriti ashtra. So this ahangaram, what is referred in the Bhagavad Gita, is the biological ego, not that assumed ego. Assumed ego is we have developed over this biological ego. So when one realizes self, what happens to him? This ego is not completely gone from him, right? But the one which was causing trouble, which was the assumed ego, has gone. But the biological ego is still remaining in him, right? So that means that biological ego will stay still, even though the assumed ego has gone from him, right? So that is what he talked about in that karta. That karta in that word, you see, to understand that verse, which one, this 17th verse, is pretty difficult. Once reading, two times reading, you won't understand it. What is Krishna talking about? Because it is a very core teaching of Vedantam, that verse. Yasya nahangrado bhavo, buddhir yasya na lipyade, hatva bisa iman lokan, na handi na nipadyade. Some amazing statement that is, right? That what is Krishna saying here? Yasya nahankrado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa iman logan na handi na nibhadyade, right? So he's saying here that senses, for example, our senses, right? That the power of that senses, the five senses, right? It works differently in human body and in the animal's body. Senses are there in both. We have senses, they also have senses. But it works differently in them and works differently in us. So, when we use our senses, because we have some intelligence which is not there in them, when we use our senses, we will use in different ways, same sense. In different ways, different people will use them. Animals, if you observe, all of them use their senses in the same way. There is a difference there. If you observe carefully, animals will use their senses in a particular way. And but because we have sense knowledge, special intelligence, so can say, vishesha buddhi, because of that, we will do it in a different ways, with the same sense. With the same sense, right? so therefore Karananja, Krishna said that before, Karananja Pridakvidham, Adhishtanam Tathakarta, Karananja Pridakvidham, in the 14th verse. See, this 17th verse is connected to all the few verses before. If you understand all the few verses before, then the 17th verse will make more, you know, clarity will come from that. Yeah? Karananja Pridakvidham, it means that for each of us, that Karanam can be different. For example, one person has got a good capacity for music. He can sing very well, right? And some other person has got capacity for artwork, artists who are doing pictures and all that, drawing them, right? So this speciality is there in some people. It comes out. They also have the same senses like everybody else. But something is in them that's making them to do that particular sense, what they have in doing that. They are able to use it in a different way than others. Music, art, and things like that, right? The another thing is, it is based on that skill or whatever you call it, that will be connected to their prarabdham as well. It will be connected to their prarabdham as well. And it's not that it is independent. It is connected to their prarabdham, right? That is his free will, whatever he or she is doing, right? And that free will is his destiny, what is called as prarabdham. And it is that destiny is what we call it as devam here. You see? So devam, chaivatra, panchamam. These are all connected to each other. Devam, destiny, prarabdham, and also this special vasanas in a person, they have some connection together. They are not independent, right? So, and that is why it says, vivisascha pratakchesta. That is from this, vivisascha pratakchesta comes. The pratakchesta comes from that. That gets, you may wonder, suddenly someone becomes an artist and shows a lot of interest in the artwork or music. Vivisascha pratakchesta, devam chaivatra panchamam. That's the answer for that. So now you can think where it's coming from. Vivisascha pratakchesta, devam chaivatra panchamam. Suddenly they get attracted to something and then they go after that. And nobody can stop them. they are going on that route. It's the prarabdham is pushing from behind. Go, 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 do it. And so you call it as free will sometimes, you call it as destiny, you call this, that, whatever it is, right? That's what that is saying. Vividhascha pradakchesta. So understanding these verses properly is important. Vividhascha pradakchesta. Krishna puts it in a very 2-3 words, everything. But when it brings into our own life and see how it is affecting us, our life in this world, then you can get a better clarity of these things, right? So, because it is like that, that person will do something with it, with that skill, whatever that is coming through him. And it is within that vasana, is his devam also is in that. Devam is not a person we are referring to here. Devam is, devam chaivatra panchamam. Devam is that destiny working. That's called devam. Destiny or the vasana or free will is coming out in this form, right? And sometimes we call it as vidhi, fate, all these things, right? All these things combined together is called life. Life is a combination of all these factors, right? That means body, words, mind, with all these things you are doing these things, right? Whether it is good or bad, it doesn't matter. These five things, Krishna is saying, is responsible for that. Adhishtanam, karta, karanam, karmam, devam. Five things. Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam ja pradakvidam vividasya pradakchesta devam chaivatra panjamam. These five things are controlling our life. And this is life. Life is these five things. Krishna's point. Right? So, so, one who has realized, when tattva jnanam comes in, paroksha jnanam, when Paroksha Jnanam comes in, he will inquire seriously, where is this ego coming from? And, or Ahangaram, it is also called Chidabhasam. These are all different names for the same thing. Due to different reasons, they are called in different ways. He realizes that Chidabhasam is not real. It's only a shadow. It is Chidabhasam, right? So when he realizes that Chidabhasam is not real, then that means, if he has known that, that means his buddhi has become purified. His intelligence has become pure. That's what it's... When he realizes that this Chidabhasam is not real, it's only a temporary thing, coming and going, right? That means his buddhi has come to in the right place. That's what Krishna is saying there. His buddhi has come into the right place, right? And through him also, karmam will happen. He will also do karmam in this world, right? Including his swadharma, whatever that was there, right? So, aham, that aham, is in three different ways it works, right? One aham, for example, is thinking that this one particular type of aham, I live in Lechmore Heath, or I am an Indian, or I am a man. This kind of firm ego inside established, right? And similarly, I like certain things I don't like, all these things, right? So, it is that ego that you have completely wiped out with knowledge, right? Then the second one, which is the for existence purposes, right? And if that is not there, if that ego is not there, I may do certain things which will hurt me. For example, if I go into the middle of the road and start walking, when the bus comes, if I don't have that ego in me, I won't give way to the bus. I won't go into the footpath. I'll keep walking in the middle of the road. That's the problem with that. That ego, right? So, so, I have to know that the bus will run over me. So that means in Vyavaharam, I need that ego. Otherwise, my body won't be protected for the protection of the body, right? That will stay like that. Then if you leave these two, in Sushupti stage, there is somewhere it's going, right? And that is there in Sushupti also, this ego, right? But in Sushupti, you won't see this existence ego. You won't see there, right? I don't have an image at that time about me. I have no image or impression about me in me, right? My body is not there, mind is not there, and I can't see anything. But I am existing. I am existing, right? So Advaitis will say this about it, like that. That's the way Advaitam interpretation of Sushupti. That the body has gone, subtle body has gone, and I can't see anything, but I am existing. Now, Dvaitis and Vishishta Dvaitis, what do they say about that? They say the jiva at that time has gone to Ishvara and staying with Ishvara. Ishvara, right? And they are saying that jiva will remain like that all the time, they will always exist. That is their point of view. Dvaitis and Vishishta Dvaitis differ from Advaitis on this point. These are all facts which we should not worry us now, because our problem is purification of our own existence, isn't it? Chittashuddhi is more important for us now than this complex issues of philosophy, right? So, the only difference is between Advaitam and the other two, Dvaitam and Vishishta Dvaitam is, Advaitam is saying that existence gone in that Sushupti stage, and you have no image at that time, body is not there, mind is not there, nothing can be seen there, the jiva actually doesn't exist after that. That's the Advaitam point of view. But because Vishishtadvaitam and Dvaitam comes from another position, they are saying that jiva is not gone, because when you wake up, they are coming back. Jiva is coming back. So therefore, jiva has not gone in that state. So this Sushupti makes these differences in that. And it is very difficult to say which one is the right one because of the problem of Sushupti. So, but they also recognize the fact that this point of jiva is not a very real one. That they also can agree with that, right? What they are saying is that it remains as a part of the Paramatma Chaitanyam. It still remains as a part of Paramatma Chaitanyam, right? So at that time, these things, what Krishna is talking about, doesn't have any relevance. Adhishtanam, Karta, Karanam, Karmam, Devam, all these things have no influence there. Because jiva is not in that state, right? It is because of that that the Acharya Swamiji says on this that vayasika dega kama vigara shushke nire ka kasara chine vite ka parivara nyade tatve ka samsara. It's one of the verses in the Bhajagovindam prayers, right? Yeah. So what he's saying is, when you become old, then kama vigaram goes away. The lust leaves you. When water dries up, thanks. When water dries up, shushke nire ka kasara. Where is the lake then? Water has dried up completely. When all your money is gone, finished, chine vite ka parivara, you won't have any friends. Once you have become very poor, you won't have any friends in this world. Chine vite ka parivara. Nyade tatve ka samsara, he says. Once you know tatvam properly, then material existence doesn't exist. He says, material existence is over. Nyade tatve ka samsara, he says. Yeah? So, he has become free, right? So, tatvajnanam comes, that means that he has become free from karmam, kartrutvam, the result, bhoktrutvam, kriya, karagam, phalam. He doesn't have any of that, right? He has become free. So, it is all based on this knowledge of or realization of this. What we have discussed now, that verses from 14, 15, 16 all, is a part of this, right? And at that time, the freedom what you get from everything, right? That is what the next verse is. The freedom what you get from 14, 15 and 16 is the 17th one. Verse. Yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatvabi sa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. Very carefully you have to study this verse, right? If you directly take the meaning of that verse, it says that one who doesn't have ego or one whose intelligence is not sticking to anything, such a person, if he kills everybody in the world, he is not killing anyone. That's what this verse means. Direct meaning, if you take. So, this Vedantam, if you keep studying like that, you won't get anywhere. And if you follow Vedantam, the world will not let you live in this world. It says you can kill anybody in this world. Kill everyone, but you have not killed anybody. Hatwabi sa iman logan na handi na nibadhyade. That's what he's saying here, right? What Krishna has said that, what Krishna has spoken there is only the science of identification. Right. And nobody can do this. Hatvabi Seiman Logan na Handi na Nibidi. Only Krishna can do that. And that's what he did in Mahabharata war. Hatvabi Seiman Logan na Handi na Nibhadyade. That is how you understand Krishna. Krishna's that state of consciousness. Right? Hatvabi Seiman Logan, the whole how many 640 million people got killed in that war. There's differences about the figures, but that doesn't matter. So many people got killed. Nahandi na nivadyade. They didn't affect him. So that is why these examples they are giving, it's very difficult to give an example for this. Except Krishna, who else is there to give you an example for this, right? Then they talk about Rudra at the time of destruction of this world, right? So, all of us struggle from this. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, isn't it? Karta bhokta. That is not easy to overcome, right? In our life in this world, we need many, many things. Yeah. And if you cannot work with others, live in this world, right? It will become a psychological problem for us. If you are not able to live with others, right? So, in this world, what rules and regulations, what we have created, is all for our convenience, so that we can live somehow without killing each other. So, for that purpose, we have created certain rules in this world. And that is the social customs, social rules, all what we follow. Is it not? Be good to neighbors, like to keep a good relationship with them. And similarly, with the community where you live. All these rules have nothing to do with spiritual life. It's all for the sake of living in this world. And when we die and go, these rules don't matter anymore. You don't have to follow the rules elsewhere. It's only when you are here, you follow them. And only when you have to interact with the world. So that we don't fight each other for anything. There is some kind of peace within ourselves for that purpose, right? So, one person don't give trouble to somebody else and he doesn't give trouble to you. So, for that purpose, we have created this social etiquette or what you call these kind of rules, right? So, and similarly, we believe that suppose if I give physical pain or mental pain to somebody else, that will come back to me. I have a fear like that about it, that I don't hurt somebody physically or mentally, right? And if I do something, Krishna will punish me in some form at some other time. That fear inside, not to offend anyone, upset anyone, right? And in order to make that very clear to us, the fifth canto says, you will be put into the huge pot of oil where you will be fried. And you will be with the spears, it will be poked on your body. All these things is to make that point deep inside. It's for that purpose it's spoken there. It's spoken so strongly that you will have to face that when you die. If that fear is inside, then what will happen? You won't go and do things to others. It's only for that purpose it's been spoken in that way, right? So, suppose I give to trouble someone, it will cause problem for me later, therefore I shouldn't do it. And that fear inside is necessary, right? So, take for example, killing is concerned, right? One person has killed another person, right? You will call him, oh, he's a murderer, he has murdered him, right? So, and then it will become a big news in the media. Everybody will talk about him as a murderer, he murdered. And the news will spread everywhere, right? Some instances, in certain situations, in order to save somebody else or to protect someone from being insulted or being punished heavily in certain circumstances, right? Even if you kill a very wicked person, right? The Government and the police will say, you are a murderer. That's the law in this world, isn't it? First of all, you are not... That's why most of the people don't want to interfere in anything. Because you will get into trouble later. The police will say, you murdered him. That person whom he has killed could be a very bad person. He was doing a wicked thing. You remember this? There is one farmer in somewhere in Northeast. Famous story it was. Some people came to his house for... to dacoits or something, and he shot them down. And he was in trouble, poor fellow, for what he has done. So this is the difficulty with these rules, right? And whereas, if he was killed by the police, or by the army, or something like that, they will be rewarded. But if you have done that, you will be taken into the court. That's the way the law is set up, like that. Yeah. So a person, even if he is giving trouble to the whole world, if you go and kill him independently on your own, you will be taken to the court, and probably you may, if you are not able to prove that you have, the jury and others have accepted, the jury has accepted your words, otherwise if the jury decides that, you may have done it for self-preservation, you may have done that, but it is quite likely that you may be put into prison for what you have done, right? So how it will come out, the result, is very difficult to say. You know that this happens quite often, is it not? Because if you go and kill someone in circumstances like that, police will take the case against you because you have killed him. That's the first thing. And then the court case begins. And then police will bring their version, and you have to prove in the court that you have done for your own self-protection, and what you have done is the right thing. The jury has to get convinced on that. Jury will look at options. Could you not have done, without doing that, could you not have saved the situation if you wanted to? Otherwise, why you got involved? So best thing is not to get involved. You move away, walk away from there. Is it not? So you can see the complexity of the rules what we have made in this world. Right? So, the law is like that. You can't do anything about it, right? At the same time, you can kill a goat, you can kill a chicken, whatever you like, right? Nobody will come and tell you anything, why you have killed your goat or chicken, right? And and they will say, similarly, if you can kill a goat and a chicken, why can't you kill a cow? They will bring this kind of logic, those who are doing that, right? So, consciously, in all these laws, there are loopholes, and there are a lot of problems with that, right? Their argument, so once it so happened, there was a big reformer, Narayana Guru was his name, right? And he was like Amardanandamayi, he also came from a very lower background, but he was a self-realized person. He visits Ramana Maharshi, they have conversations with each other, and all those things are in the record, right? So one person asked him that we are drinking the milk of the cow, so why don't we kill the cow? We are taking its milk anyway, so why not we kill the cow, right? Narayana Guru didn't say anything for that, right? And quite often he used to get affected by people who ask such questions about meat eating. And he will go to the seashore and sit there thinking about the fate of these people who are doing this, right? So this person followed him who asked this question to the seashore where he was sitting there. After some time he asked him, where are you coming from? And his name, everything he inquired from him. He was trying to get his attention away from this, right? And then he asked him, have you got a mother at home? He says, no, mother died, he said, right? So he asked him, have you eaten her? That was that was his. Prabhupada also used to say the same thing. He says, why don't you kill your mother then? if you can kill the cow, she is giving you the milk, cow is giving you the milk, and when your mother's no milk dried up, you naturally take the cow's milk. That is, the civilized society does that. And you are asking the question that, because you are taking the milk from the cow, why don't you kill the cow and eat them? On the same logic, can you not kill your mother and eat her also? So that person started, sometimes it's so difficult to get these things into their head, right? Says, that's all he asked, did you kill her and eat her? And that person started a little bit thoughtful about it, right? So his question was that the when mother's milk has dried up, then I was drinking milk from the cow, right? So if you can drink the milk from the cow, can you not eat her? And if on the same logic, if you are drinking the milk from the mother, can you not eat mother also in the same way? So cannibals think like that, that the killing other jiva is acceptable, right? So these are things in this world what we have accepted as necessary for our life in this world in a peaceful way, right? So when you read this verse, we have to be a bit careful, because it's saying here, Hatvabi se iman lokan na handi na nivadyade. So if the, you know, these activists these days, there are activists, isn't it? Animal activists. Similarly, all kinds of activists are there. And if they see this verse, they'll be in the street to ban Bhagavad Gita. Naturally. Because this verse saying like that, you can kill anybody, you are not bound by that. That means you don't have to follow. Hatvabhi sa iman loka. So this verse can be abused easily, very easily. Hatvabhi sa iman loka na handi na nipadhyade. So I kill somebody and I say to them, look at this verse, I followed this verse. That's all I have done. You can't do anything to me. Hatvabhi sa iman loka na handi na nipadhyade. I am not bound by any rules. So, Krishna has given this example that kartrutva buddhi, I am the doer, with that one should not suffer from that. It is for that purpose he has given the highest example, that kartrutva buddhi is our problem, right? That kartrutva buddhi should not give us trouble. It is for that purpose Krishna has taken the extreme example to show to us how to become free from kartrutva buddhi. That means that if you say to somebody that you can kill anyone and you are not killing anyone, atvabhi saimayan loka nahamdina nibadhyade, what is implied in that is, if you can become free from that kartrutva buddhi to such an extent, even if you are killing someone, it should not have any effect on you to that extent. I don't know whether you get it. Kartrutva hatvabhi sa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. You have done the worst thing in this world, but you should not be affected by that. By pointing out that, the idea behind that is to convey to us how powerful this kartrutva buddhi is inside. And becoming free from kartrutva buddhi means, even in this extreme situation, you should not be identifying with that. It is not done out of ahankaram. Remember that. It is because through knowledge you are becoming free from that. A person who has become free like that, he will never kill anybody. That's another side to it. Do you understand? That a person who has reached that state of understanding of this verse, he will never kill anyone. Because kartrutva buddhi is not there. But to get to that state, he has to go through so many other things before he gets there. That is what this difficulty is. Yasya nahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate. Yeah? Yasya nahankrito bhavo. Ahankaram has completely gone away from him. Buddhir yasya na lipyate. His buddhi is not attached to anywhere. no attachment anywhere. Hatwa misa iman lokan nahandi nanibhadyate. So, otherwise, suppose I have little kartrutra buddhi in us, in me, what I will do is, oh, I have done such a sinful thing, I made a mistake, and I performed adharmam. In this way, I will suffer from that. We will all do that, is it not? When we have done something really bad, because of our kartrutva buddhi inside, I will repent on that, I will feel bad about it, and I will regret about that. So, and this is in the Taittiriya Upanishad also, the same thing, right? So, a lot of people will suffer from this after doing that, right? So, Shastram, what Shastram is doing here is, for this purpose, certain things are denied. Certain things are denied. That means, from childhood, right? This papa buddhi, the fear of sinful reactions, is injected into the children at an early age, right? So, children have been told, mothers tell the children that you do these things. Sometimes they like to kill certain flies, ants, and things like that. They don't know that there is life in them. They don't even have any understanding. They just see that everything for them to enjoy. In that mood they may kill. So what do the mothers do, or the parents tell them? That don't kill anybody, don't give pain to anyone, because they will kill you in the next life, and things like that. We will frighten the children that way. Everybody does that, right? So, of course, this doesn't apply to children these days. It's different, right? So little things becomes, you are talking about that the sinful reactions in a big way, spoken to them, right? So there are certain people like this, right? They will get affected by that. Small things, but they get affected by that, right? And then they will say that I've done a big mistake, and it is giving them trouble inside, right? And sometimes they call it as psychological disturbances inside, right? And the psychiatrists have got different explanations to all this. They think that mind is working on a certain programmed way. That's the problem with the psychiatrists. Mind works on it, and when they can't understand anything, they give you certain medicines and try to put you on a in a funny state so that you don't create problem for others, right? That's the psychological way of dealing with it, right? So, and they have words for everything. Psychosomatic and psychiatrist this and that, all kinds of things, right? Krishna is saying, the solution to all these problems is that this ahankaram inside, if it has gone, then, if ahankaram goes away, then buddhi won't go and start sticking to something. If ahankaram goes away, then buddhi won't go and start sticking to something, right? And then you can go and do anything you like, right? No, Krishna is saying he won't do anything after that, which is wrong. Whatever he does will be the right thing. He won't do anything wrong. That is what he is driving at. Yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. So Krishna's point is, for example, sinful reaction, pabam, right? What does pabam means, right? What is favorable for you and what is trouble for somebody else? That itself is papam, isn't it? Suppose I do something which I like and I want it that way, and my senses are gratified. It suits me, as we say. It suits me. But it doesn't suit others. But I go and do things like that. So he's saying that that is generally papa means, right? So person with a little bit of common sense won't do such a thing, right? If it is, this is ordinary level, right? But to such an extent, one whose buddhi has become clear, buddhir yasya na lipyate, which is not going and sticking anywhere in this world with anything, buddhir yasya na lipyate, such a person, he is no questions of doing anything, pavo. So this is an extreme example Krishna has spoken here, right? Yasya nahankrito bhavo. That means one who does things where he does not think I am doing it. That means kartrutva buddhi has totally gone from that person. Right? And whose buddhi is purely fixed in the self. Not in the matter anymore. Fully in the self, right? And it's not sticking to anything else in this world, or asakti is not there, where is the question of him doing anything wrong? There is no chance of him doing anything wrong. So practically what Krishna is pointing out is that with self-realization, when you realize the self, what happens in the subtle body? Buddhi's way of doing things have changed. Buddhi has no more attraction to follow senses or the mind. And buddhi has become one with the antaryami. So therefore, buddhi rayasya na lipyade. At the moment our buddhi goes and sticks to something in this world, wherever there is attachment, our buddhi will be attached to that. Right? So, therefore, but asakti has completely gone from him. Buddhi rayasya na lipyade. And why did that happen? Naham krito bhavo. Kartrutva buddhi has gone from him. That's the reason for that. Because yasya naham krito bhavo, ahankaram means the ahankara buddhi. I am the doer. Ahankaram. Naham krito bhavo, I am doing that. Kartrutvam. Naham krito bhavo means kartrutva buddhi has gone. So one in whom kartrutva buddhi has gone, his intelligence naturally won't stick to anything in this world. It will be only attached to the self. Buddhi must have gone back to the andaryami inside. And such a person, hatvabhi sa iman lokanna handina nivadyade. Even if he killed the whole people in this world, he has not killed anyone. He is not bound by that. So the verse is pretty heavy verse it is. Yeah? Vedantam's verse, yeah, they are all in the Vedanta. There are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita which strongly pushes Vedantam, very strongly. And this is one of those verses. Yeah. So, he says, even like Lord Shiva who kills the whole creation at the time of devastation, how does Lord Shiva does that? You have to take Lord Shiva to the court then, isn't it? For what he has done, he is destroying the whole creation. But he is not affected by that. Nahandi nani badyade. It is like that. Similar to that. That's what he is saying here. So, no karma will bind him. Lord Shiva is not bound for destroying the whole creation at the end, when devastation happens, right? And another example is Krishna Avataram itself. If you look at Krishna Avataram, right? But done such things, right? Others cannot imitate that. At the sixth day, he killed Putana. This is all on this stage. It is in this state that Krishna is doing all this. Shakadasura, Tranavarta. These were all as a young child he is doing this. Right? Very small child he was doing this. Tranavarta Bhaga. And at the age of 11, killed Kamsa. Uncle also gone. Right? So, this is why Krishna's pastimes has to be understood in the background of all this. These verses. Only then it will make sense. when we say, people analyze Krishna in different way. If we look at Krishna like us, we are looking at ourselves and evaluate Krishna based on our legal system here, you will get nowhere. He is a juvenile actually. He has to be taken to the, what do they call, juvenile prison or train, where they are to be rectified, isn't it? Because as a child he was doing all such things. So he should be sent to the court that way. And because before 11 the murders he has done, how many people he has killed? So for all that he has to be taken to the court, isn't it? If we based on our law, if you apply to him, I'm saying, right? So, Krishna can do all these things. Why? It is strength of this verse. That's why this verse is so important. This is Krishna's consciousness while doing this. Yasya naham krado bhavo buddhir yasya nalipyade hatva abhi saiman logan nahandi nanibhadyade. This is very deep in Krishna. And therefore, whatever Krishna has done is justified. That's the way to understand that. That's why this verse is important. Krishna's all pastimes, you have to see through this. Then it makes more sense also. Because Krishna is saying, it is on this principle that I am operating in this world. After killing all these people at such an early age, everybody wants to become his devotee. It's not making any sense, is it? So that is why spiritual life is a big science behind it. Yeah. If you understand the Bhagavad Gita total in perfectly proper way, then you will start seeing something in there that you can see our own life in this world is controlled by certain rules which is not applicable to spiritual life. The rules what we follow in this world, our so-called social interaction and all the social rules, you can't bring them into spiritual field. Spiritual field works on entirely different principles. And this is one of that. Yasya naham krado bhavo. When the ahankaram goes away from inside, buddhir yasya nalipyade. Buddhi does not go and get attached to anything in this world. Whereas in our case, if you take it, you see, look at ourselves, how we are. We, if somebody we like, we will try to protect and we will cover him up. Even if he does something wrong. This is our mind is like that. Because ragadvesham is there inside us. Some people whom we like, even if they do something wrong, we will be forgivable. We will forgive them. And we will try to protect them from others. Even though they have done something wrong. Our own, we will say, oh, it's our man. Oh, this is my child or my son or my daughter or my wife. I'll protect like that. Right? That is not what Krishna is talking about here. And that is that because it is like that, we have ragam dvesham. That means our buddhi is attached to some people and it is not liking somebody else. Buddhi is in that state. But here what he is saying is, because ahankaram has completely gone away from inside, buddhir yasya na lipyate, buddhi has no attachment anywhere. Only attached to the soul, antaryami inside, Krishna inside. Such a person, hatvabhi saiman lokan, even if he kills, the worst thing to happen is to kill everyone. Nahandi na nibhadyade, he is not bound. Yeah. So, therefore, in Vedantam, this verse is considered to be one of the peak verses, on the top level, verses this is, in Vedantam. Right? That means, one who is self-realized, and fully situated in the platform of the soul, at that time, if he is doing something with his body and the mind, even if he is doing his swadharmam, right, or whatever karmam he has to do in this world, he can do that without being affected by anything, right? And he will only do what is meant to happen through him in this world. He will only do that. He won't do anything else, that person. Right? You can see, this is very important, you know why. even if we want, all of us, right, any of us, even if you want to become a Hitler, you won't be able to become a Hitler. Or even if you want to become a Mahatma Gandhi, you won't be able to become a Mahatma Gandhi. It is not possible. We will remain as we are. Right? Maybe you have done, studied everything and practiced it, and eventually you have thought about yourself, who you are, and finally realized the self, right? But even then, you won't become like a rishi or a sage. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, right? So, what you are experiencing at that point, realization, there will be differences between people. Between people, right? So, in your experiences, there will be differences. But in your knowledge, you may have the knowledge of the person, of a self-realized soul. You may have the knowledge, but when you are living in this world, in your experience level, it will be different. So, that power that is controlling all these things in everyone, right, is compared like this. For example, tsunami came, right? Tsunami came like a powerful flow of water. From the reverse start, we're flowing in the reverse direction. The reverse, we're flowing in the reverse direction. You will see at that time, when the tsunami happened, the river water was flowing in the opposite way. Why? The sea has come the other way, opposite way. See what? Normally rivers flow into the sea. Now the sea was flowing back into the river. This was witnessed by many people. There was photographs on the YouTube still, you can see. The river flowing back, backwards, right? So, you don't complain about it, do you? You can't complain. What can you complain about it when the river flows back, right? But, if you open a tap and the water comes out, and if the water goes back into the tap, what will you say? Water won't go back, first of all, but if it does go back, right? Both are water. Tsunami also, it's water. This is also water. But essentially they are both. But the difference effect, right, on us, it acts too different. You'll be very shocked why it is happening like that. You'll ask. But tsunami, when it happened, nobody questioned that, why it has happened, right? So, the thing is that Prakriti's niyamam, or the rules of the Prakriti, are different, right? When Prakriti does something, you can't complain. When we do something and it is not working, then we complain about it, right? So, so to think that in spiritual life, if I do certain things, I'll become somebody like them, that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's not how it works, right? So, to remain as we are, and in our present state, you have to realize the truth. Wherever we are, Krishna has put us in, right? Whereas if you start thinking I have to become like him or I have to like somebody else, in that way, it will not be possible, right? You will always remain, even after self-realization, you will remain very unique in your own way, right? and within yourself, there will be an originality after self-realization, right? And that is the beauty of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. After spiritual knowledge, everyone is not similar, it won't appear similar in the world. The knowledge is same for everyone, but when it manifests in the world, in a person, they will be different. This must be taken into account. So that is why they say, you should not think of becoming like somebody else in spiritual life. You don't try that. It won't work also. It won't work, right? Sanatana Dharma is very much a personal thing. It looks at a person and what one person has to do in life for self-realization. That is all the whole, the binding principle. Individually, what do you have to do in life to realize the truth? That is Sanatana Dharma. All other things are, we create it. So Jnani's case also, one person will not be like somebody else, right? And there is no imitation. They will remain as original. But then what is the benefit if this knowledge gets in? That ahamkarta, that ahamkarta has gone from him. Ahamkarta. Yasya na ahamkrito bhavo buddhar yasya na lipyate. Right? Karta bhokta has both gone from inside. So I am experiencing that, or I am enjoying the happiness, right? If you think that you are experiencing happiness, that means it is certain that you will experience distress. If you feel that you are experiencing happiness inside, it is understood that you will experience distress, because you are experiencing happiness, right? Similarly, if you feel that you are doing something good in this world, it is certain that you will do something bad also. So, but if this ahankaram has become free from this problem, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these things will go. That I am doing something good, I am doing something bad, or I am enjoying this, or I am suffering this, all these things will go along with that. Yeah? That is why this verse is so good. And how a realized person, how he lives in this world, what will be he like? That's what it is saying here. Yasya nahankrado bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bhisa iman loka na handi na nibhadyade. Say, right? So, once he has realized this, then he has become perfect, right? And because of that perfection, that he is good. Because of that perfection. For him, there is no good or bad, anything. What we call as good or bad in this world, right? And not, we say sometimes conscience, right? Conscience. My conscience doesn't allow this to do. My conscience doesn't allow this to do, right? but if this conscience is like this, if it is proper based on spiritual knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, then it is fine, right? But sometimes, based on conscience, if you do certain things, right? Say, based on society, police, or the law, on that basis, you have done something from your conscience, then it is quite likely that you may get into trouble. Do you understand the difference? That the, based on conscience you are saying, sometimes people say like that, isn't it? My good conscience tells me I shouldn't do this. If that conscience is based on police, law, and the society and all that, it is quite likely that you can get into trouble. You may get into trouble, you may not. Depends on that, right? But instead of that, if conscience is with self-realization, and you can say that, based, you don't say it anymore, because you'll only do it based on that self-realized state. If you are doing that, it won't get you into trouble, right? So that's what it is mentioned here. There is a very long purport on this from Acharya Swamiji. It runs into pages to talk about this one verse, right? So he's saying he's saying that buddhi, shastram, and the instructions of the guru, acharya's upadesham, all these things creates a samskaram in a person, right? One who has got all these things, normally they won't have much ahambhav, ahankaram inside, right? And he also won't have I am the doer, won't be there in him, because he has taken seriously what Shastram says and what the instructions of the Acharya is. So therefore, he will not, normally won't act, he will ahankaram, based on ahankaram, right? Similarly, those five things he spoke before, adhishtanam kathakarta karnanja pradagridam vividascha pradachyashta devam chayvatra panchamam, these five things he is saying here. If you know them well, that you will know that you are only a witness to all the karma. And pranan, mind, all these things are doing the work, I am not doing it. In that way, based on the Upanishad's Vakyam, he will be Nishkriyam. He will not be bound by karma. Right? Then he said, Atma does not stick to anything. Mind and Buddhi sticks. Atma doesn't stick. This sticky nature is with the mind. Sticky nature is with the Buddhi. These two things can go and stick to anything it likes, which we know very well. That means you become more finer and finer inside. Start understanding inside in a much more finer level. Right? And so because Atma, he has come to that level that even if something he has done, Atma is not sticking to anything. Therefore, he won't be worried about going to hell or anything like that. Nalipyade, because he's not sticking to that ideology, right? I have done something what I should not have done, therefore I'll go to hell. This kind of feeling what we have, he won't have that. He has become free from that. We have that fear now, is it not? Why? Because we need that now in our present state. Otherwise we'll go and do something wrong and give trouble to somebody else. But in our present state, we need that. But in a realized state, you don't need all that. That kind of fear. Right? Then he said here that the even though he has killed all living entities, he has nothing to do with killing. So that's what that is, right? Because this karta bhokta has completely gone from him. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Has gone from him, right? This knowledge, this realization is very powerful in a person. It has a, which one? I am not the doer. I am the enjoyer. It's a powerful force working in us, right? If that leaves us, right, that knowledge is liberates a person from everything, from karma, basically, once for all, right? And therefore Krishna is saying that this realization, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, this realization, aham karta, aham bhokta, what we now call it is I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If you become free from that, then there is no distress in this world which will give you any problem. And even the most abominable crime has happened, you won't be affected by that. First of all, he won't do such a thing. And this is why if you look into the fourth chapter, Krishna talks about this. Fourth chapter, if you look. Very important verses. Abhijedasi prabhebhya sarvebhya papakritama sarvam jnanaplaveneiva vrijinam sandarishyasi. This is what that means, right? What is Krishna saying there? Even if you have become the worst sinful person in this world, because there is knowledge working inside, therefore those sinful things have no effect on you. That's what he's saying there. It is in this context, this verse, if you study well, then you will understand this verse. 436, right? Abhijedasi pabebhya sarvebhya pabakritama sarvam yanaplaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi. Krishna is saying that, right? That this knowledge that you have become free, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. Aham karta, aham bhokta. If you have become free from that, sarvam yanaplaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi, Krishna is saying. That is the power of knowledge, he says. Power of realization, right? Sarvam yanaplaveneva vrijinam sandarishyasi, right? So this knowledge, this boat of knowledge, I'll call it as, right? Plava means the boat. Sarvam yanaplaveneva. this boat of knowledge, Vrajanam Sandarishasi, it will take you over to the other side of the material existence. Material existence is considered to be samsaram. Samsaram is like an ocean. And the ocean has to cross over with this boat of knowledge. And that knowledge is this verse. Yasya naham krito bhavo buddharma salipyate. That verse. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita is very much connected to Krishna. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita in action, you have to look at Krishna. How he did, how he conducted his life, and then you can relate with it better. Otherwise, if you take like people do, they read something and then they think that, what do I have to do now? You won't get anywhere with Bhagavad Gita. That is why a lot of people are finding it difficulty also with Bhagavad Gita. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, you should study Krishna well. And Krishna is the best in action, in other words. Bhagavad Gita knowledge in action is Krishna. That's how you understand Krishna. Then you will find it all making sense, right? Otherwise, if you don't look at Krishna's life and Krishna's actions and simply study Bhagavad Gita verse after verse after verse and put it on in the head, buddhi won't accept it first of all. That means it will never become parosha jnanam. And then where is the question of becoming aparoksham? What we discussed yesterday. You see, first buddhi has to accept it, isn't it? Only when buddhi accepts it becomes parosha jnanam. And in order to understand Bhagavad Gita, every moment you have to look at Krishna and what Krishna was doing in this world, how he was conducting his business, whatever he did, right? I told you before also that Krishna is concerned, don't try to fix this world. It is not going to work. Lord Krishna says, I have tried myself, it's not working, he said. He told Uddhava at the end, did he not? He said, the moment I go, everything will be, it's like a, Vivekananda calls it as dog's tail. It will come back into its original, because this is Maya. And trying to fix Maya is the biggest mistake. You can't fix Maya, can you? How do you fix Maya? That means you have to be outside Maya to fix. And we are all inside this Maya and trying to fix the Maya properly. So Krishna's point is, don't try to fix the Maya. What you can do now, outside world, don't look for perfection. It's not possible. Perfection is possible inside. When you become perfect inside, that is self-realization. That is self-realization. And with that knowledge, if inside is realized, this outside world doesn't exist anymore. Because this is also coming from inside. The world comes from inside. From Andaryami it has come, this world, right? So Krishna in another form is this world. Once you realize that, you won't be disturbed by what's going on in this world. And that is spiritual perfection, to come to that state. So therefore, Krishna uses this world only to that extent to make us understand that self-realization, with self-realization, this world goes away. It is not causing the same problem as what it is doing to us now. Now what is happening is, we are so busy with the world, outside world, and we want to make sure that everything is perfect in this world. And we want to sort out all the problems here. And everybody is trying for to do that. And it's not working though. It's never worked so far. And it's not working now. And from that you have to conclude it's not going to work in the future either. It will be like this. You will fight a lot of killing, fighting, war will happen, a lot of people will die. And then everybody will start the civilization again. And then it will go on for some time. And then again it will change, and changes, constantly continuous changes happens, and the world will, again we will fight. Endlessly it will go on like this. Yeah? That is not Bhagavad Gita is for. Bhagavad Gita is for how to make yourself perfect inside. Inside, if you realize the self, your spiritual identity, and if you become free from this body, mind, senses, identification, everything, then the problem is solved once for all. And that's what's called Vedantam. Vedantam is that science of making you perfect, the real you, not the false you. False you has to go and real you has to come out. And that's Vedantam, right? So, so that is Krishna is saying here that the hatva visa iman lokan na handi na nibadhyade. So if I am the door, I am the enjoyer has gone from inside, then you are free. Then you are free. Free from all distress. Free from all distress, right? After that, your buddhi won't register all that inside, what you are doing. That means right now, whatever we do, the buddhi is registering in the form of asana inside. Everything is registered, isn't it? And then sometimes it comes out in the night, in the dream, because it shows that it is registered, well registered inside. Some of them comes out in the dream. Some of them comes after many years in the dream. Something what you have done in the childhood could come up in the dream now. Or in your youth, a lot of nonsense we have done, all that will come out now, at the old age, when you are about to leave the world, reminding us, look, you have done all these things before, so don't expect much mercy from Krishna. So these things will all go with that, right? And mind will be peaceful in Shanti state, right? And also nothing else will happen after that. The example they are talking about is Vatmigi. Yeah? Vatmigi, we say, was a dacoit, wasn't he? He was a dacoit. And he has done a lot of dacoity business. He has done that. And he came out and he wrote Ramayanam. Imagine that. Ramayanam, everyone is studying Ramayanam. And it was written by dacoit. So, and he has killed people, Valmiki, as a dacoit, right? So, the reason why that Valmiki story is spoken is for this reason, to make us aware that when spiritual knowledge comes, all his life changes. Changes in the sense that all his consciences change. That means he will not be doing or... That is a real change in a person, right? A person who was so wicked, he has become a rishi. Valmiki. He has become a rishi, right? And for that, what did he do? He just chanted, not even Rama Rama, Mara 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 Mara, he chanted. Rama Rama, it became Rama Rama, but actually what he was not even ready for that, but he chanted Mara Mara Mara, like that, right? And that chanting that holy name has led into this transformation in Vatmigi. Obviously, Sri Narada Maharshi gave him that. And and he sat, and you know that name Vatmigam means this, what do they call it, the earth?
Anthill.
Anthill. Was built around his body, was it not? That's how he got that name, Vatmigi. He was sitting there. And because of his meditation, he was chanting this holy name for so long, all around his body, this anthill got built up. And when they came out, he was called Vatmigi. From Vatmigam is that anthill, from that he came out, right? And then he was called as a rishi, Vatmigi rishi, right? So by now, what has happened? All this has happened. Which one? Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, everything has gone from him. And that sinful activities what he has done, the fear of suffering from that, all that has gone from him. That is what Krishna is saying in that. That even you have done such sinful activities in previous times, even the sinful reaction that will haunt him, isn't it? I've killed so many people. For different reasons, whatever, when he was a dacoit, right? Even that fear of that sinful reaction has gone from him. To such an extent, what that indicates is, kartrutvam bhoktrutvam has gone from him. So, to understand how kartrutvam bhoktrutvam has gone from a person, it's a very difficult thing. We try very hard, but it comes back. Is it not? Kartrutvam bhoktrutvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. No matter what we do, it will be there in that. But the power of the holy name is such that he was able to liberate. Vatmigi didn't study any shastram or anything. But he wrote Ramayanam after this, and you can see how Ramayanam has been recognized in the world. The noble things what he has spoken there, and how many generations of people were purified through Ramayanam. And the impact of Ramayanam in the Sanadana Dharma and in the Hindu society also, and all the other, even other societies. It has gone even up to the extent of Indonesia and other places where the power of Ramayanam has affected. And many people don't know that he was a dacoit who wrote this. Imagine that. And same thing with Vedavyas, if you look at it. Vedavyas was a child born from a fisherwoman. Father was a rishi, Parashara Maharshi and Satyavadi. Satyavadi was a fisherwoman, right? Fishing woman. And our all literature has come from these two personalities, Valmiki and Vedavyas, right? And Vedavyas also, by birth, lot of people were hesitant to accept him because of his birth. Father was a sage, but the relationship was not proper with Satyavadi. But son was born, and that is Vedavyas. And Satyavadi and Vedavyas wrote all this Mahabharatam and all the other Puranams, and he gave us Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, everything. So, why? Because in them, Aham Karta Aham Bhokta is completely gone. So, these stories are all spoken in Ramayanam, Mahabharatam and all that they were completely free from this ahankaram inside. Ego has totally left them, right? So, there are many other stories. You know, a lot of these things, we only hear the ones who are very well known. But there are many other people who are not well known, but who are also on a very higher level of realization. Valmiki, Ramayanam and Mahabharatam, because of their prominence, they are so popular, that we think about Vedavyas and Valmiki all the time. But there are many, many personalities throughout the history who are not well known, or who are known in a small areas only. But they also had, the knowledge was the same in them. Only thing is, they didn't write Ramayanam or Mahabharatam, but they lived their life in this realization. In this realization. Right. So, so this idea that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, right, that may not leave easily. And Krishna is pointing out that in these verses, right? Dehad Alma Buddhya. That means, when you think you are the body, when you think you are the body, and then you are saying you have killed someone, when you're thinking you are the body, right? And similarly, that's one concept. On the other concept is that, you have realized the self and then you have killed someone. They are two different scenarios. Two different. From that you have to understand, on the platform of the body you have killed someone, it has reaction. But on the platform of the self, if you have done something, it has no reaction. Not saying it has to be in that platform. The way it can be abused is that way. Say, oh, I've done it on the platform of the self, so I shouldn't be punished. No, not like that. That's what Krishna is making it clear. Yeah. Yasya nahankrado bhavo buddha yasya na lipyade hatva bisa iman lokan nahandi na nipadyade. Then he's saying that even if you think that Alma is a doer, Alma adhishtanam, that does not mean that karmam also comes along with that, right? No. Alma under any circumstances doesn't get involved in anything, right? So therefore, adhishtanam, body, cannot join the Alma. So the idea behind all this is to make us clear to us that this body is nothing to do with us. Body has come from Prakriti, right? You have nothing to do with Prakriti. Body has been given to us by Prakriti. But what is happening now? We are thinking this, what Prakriti has given to us as our identity, and in that false identity we are conducting all this vyavaharam in this world. Is it not? So that's what he is saying here. That Atma never become anything to do with Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means body. And it is not doing karma with the Adhishtanam. Atma has no involvement at all in that, right? And nothing is happening in the Atma. No change is happening there. And therefore, he cannot even join the body. Atma cannot even join the body. It says here, Na yesha dosha atmana avikriya svabhavat adhishtana adibi samhadatva upapatte. In other words, this avikriya svabhav, means it has no plan to get attached to anything, vikriya, or exchange with anything, or body, or mind, or anything like that. It's that relationship with the Atma and the rest has to be understood properly. That Atma does not have any involvement with the body. Atma doesn't have any involvement with the subtle body either. But in Atma's presence, all those thoughts thinking working. They keep working. Body works, senses work, mind works, intelligence work, ahankaram works, vasanas work, prarabdham works. Everything works, provided he is there. If he is not there, none of them is working. At the same time, he is not affected by any one of them. That's how independent he is. Swaraj, the word. Bhagavatam, right? So, the reason why he is not affected is, by definition itself, he doesn't change. Yeah, that verse. So, because he is not subjected to change at any time, under any circumstances, he has to remain as he is, pure, completely pure, right? And therefore, to say that he is doing something by joining the body and doing karma is not acceptable. Because he cannot change under any circumstances, Atma cannot change. Therefore, to say that he is doing karma with the body is not acceptable. This is in one of the Bhashyams he is saying that. Then he says, that is the reason why he is saying here that the kevalam karmam. Kevalam means that it's so pure that he is not affected by that. So this avikriyatvam in Atma is very popular. That he will not get involved in anything, right? And this Atma, which doesn't go through any changes any time, gets things done through Trigunam, means Maya. He goes into Maya and Maya does it, all these things, right? So, when Bhagavad Gita is saying this, that the Trigunam is doing everything, is it not? What is that word? Prakrite Kriyamanani. Yeah? Prakrite Kriyamanani. Gunai Karmani Sarvasha. All karma is done by Prakriti, which means the three modes of nature, not by Atma. Atma makes the three modes of nature to do the things, but the Ahangara Vimodalma Kartaham Idimanyate. The one Ahangaram inside us identifies with the body and thinks he is doing that, even though it is done by the Prakriti and Atma has nothing to do with it. This is the real position on that. Yeah. So when this is also discussed in the Upanishads, this principle, which one? Avikriyatvam of Atma, non-doership. Atma cannot do anything. Atma won't do anything. Because if it does something, it has changed. Change cannot happen in the Atma. So that applies to Atma. Atma cannot do anything. If anything is done here, it's done by Triguna. Three modes. Maya. In other words, right. So, Atma doesn't have any tools to do anything. And he will not join anything, and at the same time, no changes happens in him. This is all related to Atma. Atma's nature is like that, right? And so I think we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Mm-hmm.